I'm Dan.
And I'm Joey.
And this is the Celebrity Apprentice Recap Power Rankings. All right, let's just get to things. You know, it was a big week over with Celebrity Apprentice. I don't know. I guess they're all big weeks because we've got the two tasks going on. Two people are being fired. So that means that Joey and his patent-pending power rankings are due to change. So we need to know what's going on. Joey, have you been in the lab cooking up the latest rankings for us?
I actually have. We've spent some time. We've gone over the numbers. We've been crunching them left and right. And I think that the finished piece is probably what I would call a masterpiece.
Oh, for goodness sake. Well, anything less and we'd all be disappointed. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at the power rankings. I have been privileged enough to take to get an advanced copy here. Now, are we going to go over the fired people? Are we still doing that? Do you want to start at the bottom?
We could just sort of like talk real briefly about the significant new entries, I think, in the
sure.
fired people, right?
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about if there's any movement in the bottom half of the list.
Okay, well, there's definitely movement all throughout. I will just tell you, I'll start off by saying that the one place where there was not movement was number 16 is still Olympic gold medalist Jamie Anderson. Well, and I felt like even though Sean Johnson was fired in Monday's episode and probably, you know, she was close to being, that in that last spot. But I felt like that Sean was kind of clueless, you know, throughout what happened. And in a way, it was worse than Jamie, who I think wasn't clueless, at least not to that degree. And so I kept Jamie at number 16.
Okay, so Jamie stays at 16. So where does that put Sean?
So Sean is at 15. She had been at 11 before, which I believe ranked her the lowest of the people that were still competing at that time.
Yeah. And not only did you rank her at 11 last week, but also I'm pretty sure you put on your power rankings that she was the next to go. Very
that was pretty clear.
Yeah, that was very Kreskin-esque right there because you called it. She was the next one to go.
Well, I think everybody saw that coming, so I don't want to take too much credit for that. But, you know, so moving on, then the other person that was fired was Lorenzo Lamas, mm-hmm. and I actually put him in at number 11 just behind Kevin Jonas, who is at number 10, and he is the highest ranking of the people that have been fired.
Kevin Jonas sitting there at number 10 with all kinds of mystique.
I know. And, the longer the show goes on, the more I think I miss him. But, you know, speaking about the Lorenzo Lamas firing, I was really disappointed for him because I thought, you know, he was starting to grow on me a little bit. You know, the first episode, mm-hmm. you know, he was a very weak player. And at least that's what I thought. And then as the episodes continued, he had this sort of level of consistency that was pretty impressive to me. It was good work. It was solid work. I think he had zero enemies. Even if he didn't like Geraldo, I don't know that Geraldo knew that. And I thought that the way he performed in that last task for the viral video, right. I thought he did an outstanding job. But, you know, his team lost. And then he refused, as we all know, he refused to bring anybody else into the boardroom with him. Had he done that, he surely would still be around. And I was actually starting to consider him as a dark horse for winning the show, believe it or not.
You know, actually, I think it's not that hard to believe because he did show that he was capable of doing a lot of things. Clearly, maybe not raising money is one of those things.
Right.
But everything else that he did, because in that first episode, yeah, he comes across as kind of like a dud, and you're wondering, wow, how long is this guy gonna hang around? But
yeah.
But since then, he's been very good in every task. He seems very level-headed.
Yep.
Doesn't seem to be full of ego. Seems to be a guy who, you know, whatever it is that you need him to do, he would be able to get it done.
I think he, I feel like he was starting to emerge as the guy that was taking the place of Ian. Like Ian was on his way down, as becoming less and less likable.
Yes.
And they sort of kind of do the same work, right? They're both directors, right?
Well, yes, they both like to claim that they are directors. Right.
But Ian, very, very arrogant, and I also didn't like his ideas. Lorenzo, like you said, pretty fairly down to earth, you know, focused on the task, focused on directing people, making them feel comfortable, right?
Yes.
Like making them better, as opposed to Ian being the sort of director where, hey, you're not doing it right.
Cool.
You know,
yeah.
This is my vision. This is the way it needs to be. You're in the way. So it's too bad because Ian, at one point, I believe we had ranked second, right behind Geraldo. And I thought Lorenzo was probably going to be the guy that steps up into that next spot. Maybe not. I'm not saying if he had survived on Monday, he would be number two today. But he surely would have been higher than the number seven rating that he had in the initial rankings.
All right. Now let's move on to the people who are still around, the ones who still actually matter in this game.
Well, okay, the ones that still matter, unfortunately, there's a couple of guys there at the bottom of the list that are still eligible to compete. I'm not sure that you would say that Johnny Damon matters, though. I think that might be going a little too strong.
He might not make a big impression, but he does have a win.
He does have a win,
so that's something.
Yep, it's not enough, though, to keep him off the bottom floor of the contestants that are still eligible to compete. So he is at number nine. He was at number five. He has tumbled down to number nine. I just don't see any potential left in Johnny. I think that we've seen the best of Johnny. We've seen the worst of Johnny, and I think we're going to see some more bad stuff to come. I have no hope for this guy. He hasn't really made that one completely horrible mistake, but it really is just a matter of time.
I don't disagree with anything that you said. However, how do you have him at nine?
Yeah.
So Sig Hansen has to be ahead of him.
Correct.
How do you explain Sig Hansen, who has no victories at all and has zero presence at all? Sig Hansen might as well be the invisible man.
All true. And I considered that. You know, when we get to the bottom of the barrel here, you know, you are sort of splitting some hairs. But here's what I think about Sig is that unlike Johnny, where I think that he's reached he's hit the ceiling of his potential. I think that because Sig has done so little, he has not been a project manager. He hasn't really contributed any ideas worthwhile. You know, the most we get to see of Sig is an interesting quote occasionally. But I do believe that that he may have more potential for good in the world, or at least on the show. You know, he's the captain of his own show for the most part, and he's got to be used to being in charge of certain things. And I also believe that some of the ideas, granted, we're not talking about a lot of them, but some of the things that he has said, they've resonated with me, where I think he's actually made some sense. Like the stuff he said about the GoPros and how they used the cameras, they weren't using them correctly. At least I think he understands that stuff. And he does seem like he could be sort of amusing. So,
All right. Listen, well, you know, have you seen the ads for next week's episode?
I think I'm not sure if I did or not. Did I hear something about a boat being involved?
Yes, it looks like there's some sort of a boat involved, and Sig looks like he is the project manager, and also looked like he was losing his mind. But nonetheless, I still say one win is greater than no win. So I would disagree with you these rankings so far.
Wow.
Joey.
Wow. I'm so sorry to disappoint you, Radio Dan.
Yeah. Radio. I'm sorry. Who's Radio Dan? I don't know who you're talking about. Number seven. Who is number seven?
Number seven, Brandy Glanville, a native of Salinas, California.
No kidding.
Dan. Yep. She actually moved up in these rankings. And, you know, it's actually not too hard to move up, I suppose, since we have fewer and fewer people.
It's true.
Yeah, she's becoming less likable as the show goes on, in my opinion. You know, the things that she's concerned about, the sniping and whatnot, it just doesn't seem to have, you know, any basis in reality. She's less capable than Kenya in so many different ways. And, you know, I didn't realize it before, but at least Kenya, I think Kenya's better spoken, and she generally seems to focus more on the work. So I just think that Brandy is unfortunately a victim of, you know, her own ego and insecurities. And so, yeah, she's here at number seven, two away from the bottom.
That's probably where I would have put her had I decided to had I decided to bother to make such a thing as Celebrity Apprentice Power Rankings. All right, number six.
Kate Gosselin. Kate plus eight equals six. Kate Gosselin. You know, I don't
Terrible.
really, I'm not really excited about Kate. You know,
Yeah.
she seems to get smaller and smaller each week, but there's something about me that something about her where I say, you know, look, she must have stuff in her brain that works. You know, she must, because she runs that family. You know, she's managed to make a career just by being a mom and really not doing anything else. And some of the stuff that she says makes sense. But then, yet here I go when I watch her again on these menial tasks, you know, picking up the props, you know, and then complaining about the fact that she might, for heaven's sake, actually face criticism
Oh,
for her
yeah.
performance.
All right. Yeah, that's that part of the first task this week where her and where she's there with Sean Johnson and they're eating salads and they're
Yeah.
complaining about being isolated
Yeah.
is such, honestly, at that point, you're looking at those two women and you're saying, "You know what? Why don't you both just disappear? You can
I
both
know.
just get out of here and no one will notice and no one will care." Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I think that she, I do think that if she had another shot, another crack at the project manager, I could see her winning. I really could, and it would have to be the right task. But I do think that while she gets lost in the small stuff, she doesn't get lost in it the way Brandy and Kenya do. I at least I think. You know, so she's at six, so she's a little bit ahead of Brandy.
Okay, fair enough. Number five.
Number five is the other celebrity housewife, if you will, Kenya Moore. She has moved up from number eight. She's one of those people that I would definitely say is actually trending up. Now, there aren't a lot of these people, but she's probably the first one that we're coming to here where I'm starting to like see Kenya in a different way. You know, she still has all of the, you know, the things that we don't like about her, you know, with her attitude and, you know, her mouth and, you know, the things that she focuses on. But and she also said some pretty interesting and crappy stuff about Brandy,
Oh my
right?
God, yes, because I know nothing about Brandy Glanville, really, other than that she's a housewife and that she's from Salinas. But then I learned all kinds of other things about her history. None of it was pleasant, thanks to Kenya just blurting them out. So,
Oh,
yes.
yeah.
I will tell you, though, I'm with you. Kenya seems to be more than you would think, because
Yeah.
once you find out that, okay, it's a real housewife person, you just put them in a certain category. Okay,
Yeah.
that's who this is. But she's actually pretty smart.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. You
Yeah,
know,
if
she's pretty smart and she works really hard too,
she
right? I mean, don't
does,
you think?
yes, she does, and she has ideas.
Yep.
You know, she's willing to toss it out there. She's willing to put herself out there. I will say, yeah, the one drawback is she has an attitude and she has seemingly a short fuse. Like, you know, you don't want to disagree with her because then it's probably going to get unpleasant. But everything else you said, yeah, I would definitely have moved her up. She won this week and she was seemed to be pretty good project manager.
Yeah, and I think that there's a chance. I'm just saying there's a chance that she could be the ultimate winner, which there's no
Insane.
way I would have said that at the start of the show.
Okay, I don't think I would have said that either. And I'm not so sure that I'm saying it yet, but I will de it definitely a possibility. It's certainly more likely to be her than anyone else that we've talked about so far.
Okay, number four is the guy that wishes he was still at the Peach Pit, Ian Ziering.
Ian, don't call me Ian.
Oh yeah.
Holy
Wow.
cow, this frickin' guy. How quickly did Ian Ziering go from, "Oh, hey, it's Ian Ziering," to, "Oh God, it's Ian."
It was pretty quick, and I gotta tell you, as a guy that watched that show back in the 90s, I actually wasn't a big fan of him back then. I thought, and I may have been in the minority, but I do remember thinking and feeling that at least the character that he played was a little full of himself.
Oh, well, yeah, he most definitely was full of himself. He played a jerk. He was an ass.
Yeah, I can't really remember too well, but was he also a little bit of a bully or no?
Yes, he was a little bit of a bully. Yes, he was all of those things. He was,
okay.
You know, he was like Reggie Mantle from the Archie comics. He was like Reggie. That would be Steve Sanders.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, there's a great musty reference for everybody out there.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Didn't I hear that Archie Comics is Archie was going to be killed or something?
Yeah, but it's not. You know what? It's a little bit of a fraud.
Well, it's comic books.
Yeah, exactly. It's the kind of it's a comic book that it's called Life with Archie. I don't. Why do I know this? It's called Life with Archie, and it supposes Archie's future life. So at some point when he's like 28 or something. He's going to be shot dead,
Well, how old is he supposed to be?
16, 17?
It's a long time to be 16 or 17, I'll tell you that.
Oh, for goodness sake, Charlie Brown's been 8 for 60 years.
Are they still making comics, though?
All right, fine. Fine. John Arbuckle in Garfield is 30 years old indefinitely. What do you want?
I don't think they're still making Garfield either.
Yes, they are.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you say so. I thought they stopped. All right.
No.
All right. I would much rather talk about comic books than Ian Ziering, but we do have to get through this. And speaking of cartoon characters, he definitely is one, but not one that you like. Just like you said, he's like Reggie Mantle. He's probably less interesting than Reggie, though. He's so full of himself. He's so bloated up. The guy thinks he's, he's been president of the United States for, 12 years or something. The way he touts his accomplishments is pretty it's almost amusing. It's kind of comical. It's like, when he talks about how he's been a director, for all these years. And then didn't you say you went ahead and checked his director credits?
Yes, I did. I checked his IMDb. One episode of 90210.
There you go. I guess if you did that 20 years ago, does that mean that you could say you've been doing it for 20 years? Oh, at least I guess he can.
Yes, I suppose. I don't know. But he also tossed out that he was in this business. He's been in this business for 37 years.
That's right. He did say that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what that means exactly.
He's been in the Hollywood business, man. He's been acting. He's been in the game for 37 years.
So he started when he was like 7 years old. So, was he Opie? He was Opie.
What?
That's what it was, right? He started out when he was 6 or 7. He played right in that show with the sheriff. Right?
That's Ron Howard.
Oh, that's a different guy that was in it. Okay. I'm sorry.
I sure hope you were just joking there. It sounded a little too real, and knowing you, it's entirely possible. Let's just pretend that you did not confuse Ian Ziering with Ron Howard.
Are you serious? You mean you don't remember when Andy Griffith would show up at the Peach Pit? You don't remember that?
Oh my goodness. I'm still getting over the fact that I don't know, the second episode or is it the first episode where he talked about working in the Peach Pit like it was a real job at one point. He was like, it felt like I was back working at the Peach Pit, I was cooking and sweeping up and what are you talking about? That was a set, you moron. It's not a real job. Your real job was to pretend that you worked there.
He put everything he had into his task.
Wait a minute. Does this mean that he now has 25 years of restaurant experience?
Yes, exactly. He's been bussing tables for 25 years.
Oh, my God. Although he did have one of the highlights of the week when he told Brandy, why don't you go work outside?
Oh, man, yes. Can you actually set that up a little bit better for the listeners? Tell them exactly, or remind them what happened exactly?
Oh, this is when they're in the editing bay, and everybody's in the editing bay, and Ian wants to go ahead. He directed the video. He wants to get his cut out. I do understand that. He wants to pick the scenes, put it together as he sees it, and Brandy Glanville is there. She's making – and honestly, she's just making suggestions. I think we need this, and I think we need that. And Ian just turns to her and says – Brandy, why don't you go work outside? As though there's work to be done outside.
What work is there out there?
Yeah, he should have just like given her a ball and said, here, go play with this. Can you just play with this? Go in the corner and be quiet, but you could play with that.
It was one
of the rudest things ever on that show. It was phenomenal.
It really was. And I was surprised that Brandy didn't fight back harder.
Yeah, she took it very well.
I wouldn't say that she took it very well. I just think that she doesn't have the content that Kenya would. There's no way Kenya would have taken that, right?
No, that'd be a problem.
Yeah, I think that Brandy, this is the insecurity that I was mentioning. Like, she didn't feel like she was strong enough to stand up to him. She was offended by it, but she just put up a very weak sort of, resistance against it, and then just went on. I did feel like I understood Ian's point. It was that, hey, listen, I'm just putting the cuts into place, and then after that, then you can give me your feedback on it. But don't throw all these millions of things at me. Of course, he didn't say it that way. He said, "Why don't you go outside and work?"
Why don't you go work out, Brandy? Why don't you go work outside?
Yeah.
So
why don't you
great.
go cut the lawn?
All right, let's get to number three.
Okay, now we're done with completely unlikable people. And at number three, we have Vivica A. Fox. She is down. She is trending down. She was at number four the previous week. She did lose as the project manager in the latest episode. Granted, she felt, and the show seemed to feel, that she shouldn't have been the project manager, except for that Sean wouldn't step up. Nonetheless, she lost. I believe this is her second loss as a project manager. Is that right, Danny?
No, I think she has a win. I think she's 1-1.
Oh, is that right?
I believe she is 1-1 as PM.
All right, I'll have to go back and double check that. But nonetheless, that's a loss, and it's not a good one. And I'm finding more and more that she's capable of getting down and dirty a little bit, just like Kenya and Brandy. I mean, it's not as severe, but she can do it. Like,
She can
when
dish it.
Trump, go ahead, Danny.
I would just say she can dish it.
She can, and sometimes it's unnecessary. Like, to call out Sean for, the moon cycle thing, while amusing to us, for her to turn to Trump and say, "She got her damn period, Mr. Trump." Like, I mean, come on, is that really necessary? I mean, isn't there some sisterhood there?
Clearly not.
Yeah,
Clearly not.
I.
Yes. You know what? That was a man. You know what? I'm thinking, boy, how rude Ian is for saying that to Brandy, but really telling that to Trump and to the entire world, it's
Yeah.
just, oh, that's so embarrassing.
Absolutely.
That is honestly, that's just terrible. Yeah.
That's definitely in the running for like the worst thing that somebody said this season, and that's saying a lot.
This is true. This is true.
So, the fact that she can do that, bothers me because, she's better than that. Right? She's definitely better than that. She doesn't have to go there. But you notice that when Trump does his thing in the boardroom, when he says, "Okay, blank project manager person, who do you think I should fire?" When he goes to, the Ian side, Ian finds a way to stall and not give him a name. When he goes to Vivica, she pops out a name right away.
Yes, she
You
does.
know? Yeah, she doesn't even stall. She doesn't try to get out of it, which I think is what you have to do. You got to play the game that way. Don't try to take your people down unless it turns out that you just finally have no way around it.
Right, yeah. If you don't have to do it yet, then hold off. Just wait. Just hold that ammo until later. You might need it, but you might not.
You might not, and if you don't need it, you're creating an enemy. And that's what she's done. Like, there's no reason for Vivica to have created an enemy of Sean and or and Kate. Kate can't stand her now. And if Kate is a threat, which I think that she's an outside threat, of course, but if Kate is a threat, then wouldn't you want to not have her hate your guts and try to undermine you at every turn now?
It's true. I mean, they all are on the same team. I don't know why people just don't decide. All right, listen, let's just focus on winning the task and getting rid of somebody from the other team.
Yes,
Nobody wants
yes.
that. Nobody seems to enjoy the boardroom experience. They all come out of it like, oh my God, that was brutal. That was terrible. Well,
Right.
if you just win the damn task, you all work together. Maybe you don't have to go through it.
Maybe. And well, definitely you won't have to go through it, not to that degree. And anyway, but she's quick to go to places that she doesn't have to go. And quite frankly, she's not quite as creative and brilliant as I had seen her at the start of the show. She's sort of blah. I mean, she's okay, but she is a little bit blah. She's not one of the top three, most creative people, I think, on the show. Her leadership skills are just like sort of average to me. maybe slightly above average, but that's kind of all she's got going for all of a sudden. I just cannot imagine her winning. I just can't see that. So she's trending down. She's better and less annoying than all of the other people that we mentioned. So she's number three.
So basically what you're saying is that this is also serves as an annoyance meter as well, right?
I think so. I think if you annoy me, and I represent, of course, the entire audience and how the entire audience feels, then you're probably going down.
Okay, then. All right. So who is number two on the annoyance meter, also known as the power rankings?
Okay. Well, then number two on that list is Geraldo Rivera, the former number one ranked player in these power rankings. Geraldo Rivera, yet another great episode. In fact, I don't think he's had a bad episode yet or a bad task. He's been annoying, much more annoying in the early days, but even still, he's been the rock star of the show, wouldn't you say?
Oh, most definitely. It's been the Geraldo show. And it's funny because this episode here, he definitely scaled it back. I mean, I didn't see him have an issue with anybody about anything I think the first time, but he still kind of stood out because he's tossing out ideas. He ends up starring in that terrible viral video that Lorenzo directs.
You know, let me ask you a question. So, you know, we've talked a lot in the past about reality shows and whether or not they're staged or contrived or whatever. And I think we're both adults and we understand that there's going to be some element of that. I've not really noticed that on this type of show until when they were about to start the task for the Chock Full of Nuts. Okay. When he walked into the work area and he was singing the jingle, remember that?
Yes, I do.
It made me kind of wonder if that was staged.
Ah, okay.
I mean, I there's no way to know, but it just seemed a little too perfect that he walks in singing that and that Lorenzo goes, "Hey, what a great idea." You know?
Yeah, I know what you mean. And maybe something like that did happen and they just kind of refilmed it if they missed it.
Yeah.
You know, that definitely does happen on reality shows. But it did look a little contrived. I didn't really think about it too much at the time. But like now that you're saying it, I can see it in my head how he's walking in and how Lorenzo's reacting. Yeah, it's entirely possible.
Yeah, yeah, and maybe the cameras didn't get it the first time or whatever, and Lorenzo was like, you know what, I really like that, and then maybe the producers that were there said, you know what, we can actually shoot that. Can we have Geraldo walk in however he did it the first time? And then that could, and I think it's probably likely to be the case. And this doesn't bother me at all, by the way, but it was just something for me to take note of. But still, Geraldo I didn't like his idea, but, you know, he carried the day on his idea. He was goofy looking. He didn't care. And it was really kind of built around him, you know?
It totally was. He even wore that stupid tuxedo into the boardroom.
Did he wear the top hat, though?
No, he did not. He just wore the tux. And I remember thinking, you know, how dumb are you going to feel if you lose and you got to sit there in that tuxedo getting yelled at by Donald Trump? And sure enough, they lost. And he's sitting there in that dumb tuxedo.
Yeah, but he wasn't going to get fired.
He certainly wasn't. No, they're not getting rid of him. No. We're keeping Geraldo as long as we possibly can.
What was the worst thing he said on Monday? Do you remember?
The worst thing that he said?
It was in the mashup you built.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. You know what? I forget, but he's talking about how his mind is like a volcano. It just keeps spewing.
Right, with all this creativity.
No, this is a creativity. He doesn't say that egotistically, by the way.
No, of course not. Of course not, which is why he had to make sure that he didn't say that egotistically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. at least he's got a presence enough to make that statement, to go ahead and put the tag on it. By the way, I'm not trying to be an egomaniac here.
Yeah,
But I'm pretty awesome.
Yeah, but I am pretty amazing. Okay. So that has Geraldo at number two, and now we get to the new number one ranked player in Celebrity Apprentice.
Drum roll, please.
Lisa Gibbons.
Oh my goodness! Oh wait, there we go. Holy cow! What a shocking turnaround for Lisa Gibbons. Actually, she's been very good the entire time, so I'm not surprised that she jumped up to the top of your rankings here.
I'll tell you what, she has been really good every week, every episode, every task. She's made no mistakes, and that's pretty hard to do, to like not say you know, something that isn't great in the boardroom, no matter what comes out of her mouth. I mean, it's just, it's all sunshine. It's like, oh, well, that's a good way to say it. I mean, she has been occasionally critical of some of the teammates, but, you know, to Trump, but she's done it in this way that nobody gets pissed at her. And I don't know how she does it, but she's kind of amazing. And she also doesn't toot her own horn. And very few people also, by the way, you know, praise her. So she's doing a lot of this great work without having been a project manager. And she's carried the day in so many situations, yet it seems like Trump wouldn't know it, and a lot of people don't seem to remember it or be aware of it.
All true. And then, of course, but she was project manager this week.
Right. So then she's project manager this time around, and it was a huge victory for her.
Yeah.
So, you know, so listen, she's done everything that she could possibly do to be the number one ranked player. She was ranked number three last week. So she definitely leapfrogged her way to the top. And I see her as going head to head with Geraldo now, you know, going down the stretch.
To see
who's actually going to win this thing.
Did you think maybe Trump knew what he was doing when he had them on different teams, as he was looking ahead and saying, you know what, I'm seeing a star over here, and I'm seeing a star over here. These two, they're going to collide. No.
I think Trump looks at it more like, because Lisa would be, it's hard to know that Lisa's a star, you know, because everything that she does is sort of like so quiet and behind the scenes. I think that Trump, you know, was more interested in seeing Geraldo versus Ian. You know, I think it's more like that. He wants to see, you know, the clash of the egos.
Yes.
I don't think he's really thinking that, you know, this person can take on somebody else if it's Lisa. You know what I mean?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, okay. That makes perfect sense. You're right. Especially that first week when he did do the switch up. It most definitely was the Geraldo versus Ian show.
Yeah.
By the way, can we get that again? I need that one more time, because I enjoyed the hell out of that. All right, so we are done here for the Power Rankings this week. We will be back again next week with our recap, and then, of course, more Power Rankings, and only three episodes to go, which is just so sad. Just so sad. Anyway, Joey, say goodnight, everybody.
Audience, you're fired.